The Video Music Awards are this weekend. They are an awards show known for pushing boundaries, making headlines, and sometimes offending. We thought it would be a good time to talk about one of the biggest musical sensations and controversies of the moment.
She's performing at the Video Music Awards this weekend, and her name is Amethyst Amelia Kelly, or more commonly known by her stage name Iggy Azalea. Iggy's rise to stardom has been historical. She's the first artist since the Beatles to rank simultaneously at both numbers 1 and 2 on the Billboard Top 100 chart with her first two songs. Only a month after the release of her debut album, Forbes magazine called her the woman running hip-hop.
While her commercial success may be clear, her acceptance within the industry and among culture critics is anything but. Iggy is a blonde, white, Australian woman, but her music is in the style of hip-hop from the American South. And while many white artists have appropriated typically black music in the past, many say Iggy is particularly offensive for the way she mimics an African American sounding hip-hop voice.
Here to talk with us about responses to Iggy Azalea's music and how white artists have used black music historically is Travis Gosa. He's an assistant professor of American Studies at Cornell University, researching race and music. His article about the topic on The Root is called The Conspiracy to Whitewash Hip-Hop, Why Iggy Azalea's Music is So Popular and Problematic. Travis, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Well, white artists have been using the styles and lyrics of black music throughout American music history. Is there something different about Iggy Azalea that gets people worked up?
Iggy certainly represents a long line of white artists who have come to the U.S., borrowed and mimicked the music, accent, and styles of black Americans, and repackaged it for the for white audiences or the global marketplaces. What I think is amazing about Iggy Azalea is that she really represents the first time in the past 50 years since the British invasion that a white artist has been so good at doing this.
Well, let's talk about that by listening to some examples. Now, one of the things that seems to stick in people's craws when we're talking about this issue is the difference between her natural speaking voice and then her presence as an artist. This is her speaking in an interview.
I first decided I would like to have a music career when I was about 14. And I remember I thought I could probably get a record deal in a year. That was what I thought. It takes a year. It's pretty easy. And I thought, all I have to do is see my potential. So I'll record 3 songs. And I'll send this 3-song demo to a label. I'll send it to every label, and one of them will pick me.
All right, there she is speaking in an interview, and here she is performing.
Hit the club with bad bitches. Stack of hundreds, bunch of 50s.
Okay.
Super clean,
uh-huh.
Shout get them. Yeah. Hit the scene, kill we in the murder business. Kill pride, I hurt feelings. Uh-huh. Click, clack, bang, bang, we in the murder business. Keep sending battles, I'm a pop 50.
And you've got obviously a huge difference there between, you know, the off-screen Iggy and the performing Iggy. You can hear the difference in her voice, the affectation there, the change in style, if we're going to be kind about it. Is this what makes her offensive to the hip-hop community?
This is one of the major issues that people have taken with Iggy Azalea. One of the most important aspects of hip-hop culture is the idea that you have to be real, right? That authenticity and sincerity has always been privileged in the culture. And so what it means is that if you rap about the streets, you should have lived a street life. If you're from Australia, perhaps, right, you shouldn't be using this stereotypical Southern drawl. One thing that I've said in the past is that, you know, this doesn't go both ways. Imagine me as an African-American male from the American South. If I went to Australia, right, after seeing Crocodile Dundee and began speaking in a stereotypical Australian accent, right, you know, claiming that a dango ate my baby or, you know, anything, those types of stereotypes of how people from the American South sound, really, I think, represents one of the major reasons why critics have questioned her authenticity to the culture. You know, one thing that I think is amazing is that there have always been white rap artists in American hip-hop, right? We can think, go all the way back to 1981 with Blondie's Rapture, right? This is sort of an early disco rap song. Probably one of the first songs that anyone outside of New York heard after Rapper's Delight. That was a white female. So it's not just that she's white and Australian. It's that people have been very concerned about what seems to be her desire to be the first post-hip-hop rapper, someone who seems to be circumventing many of those gatekeeping mechanisms to where you have to have black audiences that you want your music played on urban radio. In many ways, Iggy Azalea represents the first post-hip-hop rapper because she's risen to success without any support or viewership or listenership from traditional urban black markets.
And yet her mentor is a guy named T.I., an African-American, who is supporting her and apparently doesn't see any sort of dissonance going on here. How do you explain that?
Well, traditionally, white rappers have used black mentors to signal their authenticity and sincerity in the market. We can go back and think about the importance of Eminem, right, the famous rapper from Detroit, the importance of him being linked and mentored to Dr. Dre early in his career, to Royce da 5'9" and Proof, two prominent black Detroit artists. So in many ways, I've seen Iggy Azalea dodge some of the criticism given the cachet of T.I. and Southern hip-hop. But beyond T.I., who is her mentor and owns her contract, most critics, most DJs have been very critical of Iggy Azalea. I'm thinking about Funkmaster Flex on Hot 97, you know, had her in the booth during an interview, played her new record and said, "This is garbage," right? That this is the worst thing I've heard in years. The only reason why he said he was playing it on the station is because they were contractually obligated.
And another argument that I've heard is from black women saying that she's crowding out black women who have authentic voices in hip hop and have to fight to get their airtime to begin with. And now you have this Caucasian woman who's pretty much sitting on the throne of women's hip hop, of all hip hop, if you read the stories. What do you think about that argument?
For the past 2 years, Iggy Azalea has been criticized not just by tastemakers, music critics, and cultural writers, but by the few black female hip-hop artists who remain in the industry. I'm thinking first and foremost about Azalea Banks, not to be confused with Iggy Azalea. Azalea Banks, a black female rapper, has basically described Iggy Azalea's music as a new minstrel show. Right, accusing Iggy Azalea of stealing the culture, crowding out other female artists who are trying to make it. But I think the most prominent critique has come from the former reigning queen of hip-hop, Nicki Minaj. Right, Nicki Minaj has been very vocal of what she sees as pretty much a whitewashing of rap music by Iggy Azalea. During the last Music Awards, she called out Iggy Azalea as being not just inauthentic, but as someone who doesn't write her own rhymes. And so in the world of hip-hop, the accusation that you don't write your own rhymes is similar to sacrilege in religion. And so there has been much critique from the few black female artists who remain in the industry.
And she's making a ton of money, so it's not just an argument about cultural appropriation. It's that she is, and the companies that back her are making money hand over fist. How does that figure into this?
Well, one thing that's amazing about Iggy Azalea is that she seems to be benefiting not just from her model looks or from her relationship with T.I., but she seems to be part of this new program by Clear Channel called the Verge Program. And what that means is that the 850 Clear Channel radio stations around the nation was obligated to play her song Fancy 150 times a month at minimum. Clear Channel radio stations have about 250 listeners on average. Multiply that by playing it 150 times on 850 stations, we have a recipe for a pop hit. One thing that I've been interested in is whether or not Iggy Azalea is really interested in a long-term rap career. She seems to be interested in modeling and product endorsements.
And we're going to have to leave it there for now. We want to take a listen to the song that you've been talking about, Fancy, as we speak with Travis Gosa, Assistant Professor of American Studies at Cornell, talking about Iggy Azalea and her hip-hop music. She's been criticized for appropriating Black hip-hop culture in her music.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think? Do you think some artists are successful and others are offensive when appropriating Black music? You can call us or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page.
We go out with her song, Fancy. You're listening to Central Time.
First things first, I'm the realest. Drop this and let the whole world.
This is Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Rob Ferret.
I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our conversation about white artists using and performing typically Black music. Overnight hip-hop sensation Iggy Azalea is a blonde white Australian woman and has been criticized for offending the hip-hop community by using the voice of Southern African American hip-hop. We're speaking now with Travis Gosa, Assistant Professor of African American Studies at Cornell University, where he studies race and music.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think about white artists appropriating typically Black music? It has been a part of music history from Elvis to the Beatles to Vanilla Ice. Is it sometimes okay and other times offensive? Let us know what you think at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go now to our callers. We've got Mike with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? First of all, I just want to say that I think we as people, Black people in general, are taking this a little too serious. Hip-hop has been diluted for a very long time now, ever since the rapping grannies been around. And we take rap artists and artists and entertainments in general too literal and too serious. These people are just entertainment. So by us holding on to this thing that we want to hold on to as hip-hop and things as our own, we're kind of just putting ourselves back in the overall picture. I mean, people being real in the hip-hop community, that has been falsified for so long. And everybody who listens to rap knows this. So who cares what she's doing? I mean, if anything, it's spreading the music and people are listening to it and having a good time. I mean, why take it so serious?
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your thoughts, Mike. Appreciate that. And what do you say to that, Travis? Is hip-hop already, you know, an art form that is diluted? There is no such thing as pure hip-hop anymore, so why get upset about Iggy?
Well, thanks, Mike, for the question. I think the caller had, I think, was vocalizing what many people have said in response to Iggy Azalea. What are the stakes at risk of this new artist coming and dominating pop music? First thing I would say is that for African Americans, music has always historically been more than just music and entertainment, right? From the oohs and ahs of the cotton fields during slavery, during sharecropping, from Can't See in the Morning to Can't See at Night, right? Music has been the soundtrack of people who have needed it as a social resource, right, to deal with structural inequality and racism in America in the 1960s, right? We, of course, did not expect, we've never expected hip-hop artists to be leaders or to direct Black America, but music has been the soundtrack of struggle. It's been so much more than entertainment. And so I think what the caller is pointing at is that this has changed with hip-hop. I think it's probably the 1990s when Snoop Dogg released his first debut album with the hit song Gin and Juice. I think for many hip-hop fans, that was the first moment to where people said, wait a minute, this is no longer the era of Fight the Power, Public Enemy, of hip-hop being the quote-unquote the Black man's CNN. And so it has been a few decades in which people have wondered, you know, does hip-hop still really still have the cachet of being a real lens to the Black experience? Clearly with Iggy Azalea, the answer is no. This is, you just played Fancy. This is a great song for shopping at the mall, for perhaps having a pillow fight at a sleepover. Certainly, Iggy is not trying to tap into that longer history of black music that has really been the soundtrack of struggle.
Isn't music sometimes just simply a culture of borrowing, though? If we look at all the way back to the Renaissance, there were things called paraphrase masses where people just ripped someone else's music and plugged it in. If you look at jazz, that's a place where you grab someone else's tune, you play it, and then you riff on that. Isn't that, in a sense, what's going on here?
Hip-hop has a long history, an important history of sampling and reconfiguring former music to make something new and innovative. I think the key is to borrow and sample in a way that doesn't amount to a type of symbolic violence. I'm really struck by what Amiri Baraka, the famous black arts poet, said back in the mid-60s, right? He was watching the British invasion, watching the Stones and Beatles. And this is the joke he used to tell, right? He said, what's the difference between the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and the minstrel shows of the 19th century? Well, the answer for him is that the minstrels never convinced anyone that they were black, which is a very funny joke if you get what he's trying to say, is that first, what made these two groups, the Beatles and the Stones, so great is that if you close your eyes, they were so great at emulating the R&B, blues, and rock artists of the time that you swore, right, that they were actually black artists. But they did so with love, sincerity, and appreciation for those artists. The question with Iggy Azalea, is she really paying tribute to the artist that paved the way for more than 40 years for her to be able to enter hip-hop at a time in which it is valuable popular culture?
Now, people have drawn comparisons between Iggy Azalea and other white hip-hop artists like Vanilla Ice, who have also tried to boost their credibility, their authenticity, by tweaking their life stories. And here's Vanilla Ice's version of that.
Ready for the chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of eight ball. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells. Falling on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked. Police on the scene, you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all. The dope fiends, if there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Right, famous song there. Unfortunately for Vanilla Ice, not exactly what happened to him when he was growing up. That was not his experience. And if Iggy Azalea had a different life story somehow, where she was, you know, living an experience that was more authentic, do you think people would still have the problem that they have with her?
Iggy Azalea, in a way, has tried to avoid the Vanilla Ice trap. Back in the early 1990s, Vanilla Ice really represented the worst things that white artists could do trying to get into rap music. That is fully fabricating a life history that draws on the stereotypes of struggle, drug dealing, crime. You know, one thing that Vanilla Ice did, besides change his name from Robert Van Winkle to Vanilla Ice, right? Robert Van Winkle is not a good rap name.
That's not a good rap name.
Was to pretend to be a gangster from Miami, claimed that he had gang affiliations. At one point, he claimed that he had been shot and or stabbed while committing crimes. This, in a way, represents a type of inauthentic construction of biography that Iggy Azalea has been able to avoid. What she does is to say, hey, I'm white, I'm from Australia, but I have a similar story of struggle, right? I wasn't affluent in Australia. I came to the U.S. with no money. I struggled on the streets trying to juggle jobs during my modeling career. And in a way, I think she has avoided the Vanilla Ice trap. One of my concerns, though, is that there's been a few missteps that echoes Vanilla Ice. First, Iggy Azalea has referred to herself as a slave master in one of her songs, mm-hmm. right? Threatening to destroy other rappers who are runaway slaves. This really demonstrates that she may not be familiar with African-American culture, African-American history. At one point, there was a viral tweet going around in which she allegedly used the N-word when referring to her fellow artist, right? It turns out that it may or may not have been a true tweet, but this caused some controversy. And so while she hasn't had the fake biography problem, she has really ruffled the feathers of people who are skeptical that she is an authentic artist.
Well, we've got a lot of folks waiting to talk to you, so let's go to the phones right now and take Scott in Nisida. Hi, Scott.
Hi there. Well, thank you for the show. I always enjoy listening to you folks. Well, I first of all, not all black African or American music is about struggle. You know, I really love Pharrell Williams' Happy, for example, and I love a lot of the Motown stuff that isn't about struggle. It's fun. I love it, a lot of it is. Aside from that, the reason I call is to say that Iggy Azalea would, if she would make some kind of comment stating that she has no direct experience of living as a black African-American, Iggy Azalea would have no more, would she be no more offensive than a black African-American borrowing any of the European music legacy, kind of what you were saying a little while ago. You know, it's like, well, don't we all borrow from something? So it's kind of adding to that. So that's all.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott, and thanks for listening. And Travis, what do you say to that?
Thanks, Scott, for the question. One thing that I think his comments should direct our attention to is that this is not just hip-hop or rap music that this is occurring with. Similar complaints issued against Iggy Azalea have been forwarded at white R&B artists such as Justin Timberlake or Robin Thicke, right, of being sort of two prominent white R&B artists. And so in last year's awards show, a funny thing happened. That last year was the first year in which there were no African Americans who had a number one song, right? We looked at the award shows and many of the artists, right, seemed to be white artists performing hip hop and R&B. So I agree that it goes way beyond rap music. One thing that I've been fascinated with is looking at the bro country phenomenon. And this is really white country artists who aren't just doing pop music, but they're incorporating hip-hop, rapping, R&B producers in their music, right? And so I'm thinking about the new Miranda Lambert CD I listened to the other day, right? She's rapping on it. She's talking about car truck rims, people twerking on, you know, the back of cornfields in some of these bro country videos. And so these controversies about the racial boundaries of pop music, I think, go way beyond rap music.
So when you look at this history of music and appropriation and the line that sometimes gets crossed over, are there white artists that you think have been successful at, you know, maybe paying tribute to the African-American music that they're borrowing from and staying respectful?
I think so. I've already pointed to Eminem as someone who has proved that he is a sincere member of the hip-hop community. I think in looking in the 1980s, we can talk about the Beastie Boys. In the 1990s, we can think about groups such as Third Bass. Today, you have several prominent white hip-hop artists who are quite respected in the hip-hop community. I'm thinking about Action Bronson, a New York rapper right now. But I think some of the white artists have to be very careful about the lines that they cross. Someone like Mac Miller, a Pittsburgh rapper, has been accused throughout his career of stealing the music and lyrics of black artists. So I think that's a case in which he seems to be crossing the line of paying tribute and homage to artists who have come before to maybe crossing into outright theft of previous artists' music.
So, Travis, in our last 30 seconds here, with the Video Music Awards coming up this Sunday, is there anything Iggy can do to redeem herself?
It is my hope that Iggy will avoid the sensational gimmicks of kissing Britney Spears or Madonna. And this could be her first moment in which she can have a performance in which she shows the world that she can be a great live performer. In the past, she's been plagued by cases in which she's been clearly lip-syncing, times in which she has to stop rapping in order to dance. And so I would love for Iggy Azalea to come out this weekend and demonstrate that she is a force to be reckoned with.
All right, Travis, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Travis Goza, Assistant Professor of American Studies at Cornell University. He researches race and music.